Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Luke chapter number 18, and I failed to make mention of this in the announcements. It just slipped my mind. I was even talking about the camp meeting Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. If anybody can come help us, will be the work morning and be the cleanup day there at the camp meeting building on Caudill Drive. And if you can come by and help us for a little while, that would be great. Look what the Bible said, Luke chapter number 18. And then Saturday, the Foothills Youth Choir is going to sing on Saturday, and anybody that helps with that, I hope that you'll go to Gospel Light in Walkertown. The van, are y'all going to take a van? What time is it leaving? At 7. Oh, at 9. I started to say, why in the world y'all leaving at 7? But at 9 o'clock, and that'll be a good time there at Gospel Light Baptist Church. Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now look back what he said in verse number 18, or verse number 1 of chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Father, I love you tonight. I pray that you would help us for a little while tonight. Lord, thank you for our church, the people that makes it up. Thank you for what you're doing in it. God, I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless us, continue to bless our church, God. I pray, Lord, that we would ever be mindful of you and sensitive, Father, to your will. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. If you was here last Sunday, you'll remember that we looked at this phrase, not to faint or to faint not. And we looked on Sunday morning out of the book of Corinthians where Paul said, for this cause we faint not. And I preached on don't lose heart when life seems unfair. Of course, we went back in those verses and looked at all of the context of that. Then on Sunday night, we went to the book of Galatians chapter number 6 where the Bible said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I preached on don't lose heart when your labor seems unfruitful. Tonight I want to call your attention into these verses where the Bible is dealing with prayer. And I want to preach on this thought, don't lose heart when our Lord seems unresponsive. When our Lord seems unresponsive. When you come to this verse, the Bible said that Jesus makes the statement here that men ought to pray. The word ought is from the Greek word die, which means this, it is necessary, there is a need of, it is right, and it is proper. And what Jesus is teaching his disciples is this, it is right and it is proper, it is needful, and it is necessary for men to pray. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. It is right to pray, and it's necessary to pray, and it's needful to pray. Amen. Men ought always to pray. It is also translated, whenever you study the word ought out, it is also translated must 58 more times in the New Testament. Praying is necessary, and it's vital if we're going to guard against quitting and guard against fainting and guard against losing heart. How many times have we been at that place where we began to faint or we began to lose heart? We began to wonder if it's even worth it. And man, we go to the Lord in prayer and we began to talk to Him in prayer. And through that, we find the encouragement and in the help that we need. And that's the reason Luke says that we should pray and not to faint. I thought about this. Why do I need to pray? Well, I need to pray to live clean. To live clean. The Bible said this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Notice the word regard there. Here's what it means. It means to love or to esteem. And he's saying this, if we love or we esteem iniquity, then God's not going to hear our prayer. But I'm glad that he also put 1 John 1:9 in there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Amen. And just to forgive us our sins. And because of prayer, we can live a clean life before the Lord. I need to pray to live in courage and be spiritually strong. What did the Bible say in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I need to pray to live connected. To live connected. There's some things that we need to lose the connection of. In recent days, I've been doing a lot of study on screen time and the effect that it has on adolescents and teenagers. And I just say this, you ought to study that. And if you study that and you don't make your kids have less screen time, man, something's wrong with you. It's crazy. Whenever you study it, it's directly linked to ADHD in young people today. And it makes sense when you really think about it. It's directly linked to obesity in young people today. It makes sense when you think about it. Instead of going out in the yard and kicking a can, they sit around and look on a screen. Everybody, I'm not preaching on tonight, but I can if I need to. Are you with me? It's directly, watch this, it's directly linked to depression and anxiety in young people. Let me tell you the reason why all they know how to do is live with their face. And there's some connections that you need to get rid of. And that's just a little flash front of a message that's coming in a couple weeks. I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to preach it because half of you won't come. But it's coming. I'm just going to tell you that. It's mind-blowing. And it's so interesting that the Bible said we're not ignorant of Satan's what devices. His device. People today don't even know. I'm getting off on a rabbit trail. I usually don't do this, but I think I will for a minute. We ain't had no choir singing. I think I'll be a little comp time tonight. Hey, you know what? It's interesting. Some of y'all will get that in a minute. It's interesting that young people, a lot of young people don't even know how to communicate today. They don't even know how to carry on conversation. You tell you the reason why? They've got a screen in front of them all the time. Some young people can't even walk around without things in their ears so they can tune out everything else around them. Hear me and hear me well. You cannot tune out society completely. It's a wicked world, and you're going to have to learn to communicate one day. And what am I preaching? I'm preaching on praying tonight. We need to pray right now probably. They're connected to the wrong things. When I say something, I need to pray tonight to live a connected life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that's the way I talk to Him tonight. When I read my Bible, He talks to me. But I sure am thankful that I can connect with the Lord Jesus tonight and talk to Him. I need to pray tonight. Here's what John R. Rice said. He said, all of our failures are prayer failures. And I say that again. All of our failures are prayer failures. Here's what E.M. Bounds said. Only God can move mountains, but faith and prayer moves God. E.M. Bounds also said this, prayer is not preparation for the battle. Prayer is the battle. Charles Spurgeon said, I know of no better thermometer to your spiritual temperature than this, the measure of the intensity of your prayer. D.L. Moody said this, the reason why many fail in battle is because they wait until the hour of battle. The reason why others succeed is because they have gained their victory on their knees long before the battle ever came. You know what Jesus says to us tonight as he deals with this parable of this widow? He says that we ought to pray and not to faint. You know what he's saying? Don't lose heart in your prayer life tonight. Don't lose heart in your prayer life tonight. In this text, Jesus teaches us the importance, the involvement, and the instruction of praying. There are seasons in life when it feels as though God becomes unresponsive to us. We pray, but nothing changes. We cry, but heaven seems quiet. We ask, we seek, we knock, but the door does not immediately open. Yet throughout Scripture, God instructs us not to lose heart in our prayer life. The Lord often delays, not because he is unconcerned and not because he's unable and not because of any of that, but because he is accomplishing something greater through our waiting. Did you catch what I just said? He's accomplishing something greater through our waiting. I watched God do that even this week. I was talking to my wife about some things, and I just told her, I said, I the only thing I've got peace about doing is praying. I said, I don't have peace about doing nothing else but praying. You know what? I watched God fix some things that only God could do. And I want to say something to you tonight. When we pray and it seems that he's unresponsive and he's not hearing us, hear me and hear me well, he is hearing us. Maybe he's just got us on hold because he's doing some things behind the scenes that only he can do in his time. I want to show you three different people in the Bible that decided to pray even when it seemed the Lord was unresponsive. Number one, note with me in our text, the widow. She prayed through pressure. She prayed through pressure. Jesus begins this parable by telling us exactly what he gave it for. Here's the reason that he gives the parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The widow in this story is a picture of a believer who refuses to lose heart even when the answer does not come immediately. Think about this lady. She had an adversary against her. She had a burden upon her, and a judge seemed completely unconcerned. Verse number 4 says this, and he would not. At first there was no response, there was no action, there was no answer, yet she kept seeking, she kept asking, and she kept knocking. I want you to think about this with me on this lady this evening. Her problem was real. She doesn't have a problem that's not real. Now you say, well, preacher, it's a parable. We don't know that it's a real problem. Just, you know, sometimes you just need to read the Bible. Let's just read the Bible. She got a problem right here. And I'll tell you something. You know what our life is full of? It's full of problems. Matter of fact, Job even said it this way, man that is born of a woman is a few days and what? Full of trouble. I thought about this. Her problem was real. The widow was not playing games. She had a genuine burden and a genuine adversary. Sometimes there's burdens that we carry. There's the burden of our family, of our finances. There's spiritual burdens. There's sickness. That's a burden. There's burdens over unanswered questions. We have real problems in a real world. But think about this, her problem was real, but her prevailing was rewarding. Look what the Bible said. Finally, the judge said this in verse number 5, because the widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Because she's a trouble to me, I'm going to do something about it. Jesus, listen to this, is not teaching that God is irritated by our praying. He is teaching the opposite. If an unjust judge responds to persistence, how much more will a loving Heavenly Father respond to His children? So the moral of the story is this: when it seems that He's unresponsive, just keep praying through the pressure. Number two tonight, the widow, she prayed through pressure. But number two tonight, I want to talk to you just a minute about another lady in the Bible that kept praying. Her name was Hannah. When you go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 1, you don't have to turn. But in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, we read Hannah's prayer and what Hannah's praying for. Hannah desperately wanting a child. The Bible said this in verse number 5. The Lord had shut up her womb. Year after year, she carried disappointment, reproach, ridicule, and a heartache. To Hannah, it must have seemed as though God was completely unresponsive to her prayer. Year after year, she wanted a child. Year after year, no doubt, if you know the manners and customs, year after year, she was probably made fun of because she was barren and didn't have a child. Year after year, she prayed and she prayed and she prayed that God would bless her. But it seemed that God was nowhere around and that God was unresponsive. The pain that she must have felt. Others around her had children. Others seemed blessed. Others appeared to receive what she had prayed for. Can I say that again? Others seemed to receive what she had prayed for. You ever been there before? You want to talk about wanting to lose heart in your prayer life? You go to praying for God to do something for you, and you see Him do it for somebody else, and you're wondering in the backside of your mind, God, why didn't you do that for me? God, I'm going to church. God, I'm living right. God, I'm trying to teach my family right. God, I'm trying to walk. Man, you study Hannah's life. She's doing everything right. And everybody around her seemed to be getting what she was praying for. It definitely seemed that the Lord was unresponsive. Others around her had children. Others seemed blessed. Others appeared to receive what she had prayed for. Yet Hannah did not quit praying. The Bible said in verse number 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Think about this in Hannah's prayer. Her prayer was passionate. This was not some casual praying. This was a broken-hearted praying. There are some burdens that become so heavy that all we can do is pour it out and pour out our soul before God. Her prayer was passionate, but her prayer was persistent. Year after year, she kept going to the house of God. Year after year, she kept praying, even when there was no visible answer. Guess what she done? She kept praying. She kept praying. But watch this. Her prayer was passionate. Her prayer was persistent. But her prayer was productive. Can I say it again? Her prayer was productive. You that knows your Bible knows that. In God's time, guess what? Samuel was born. What seemed like divine silence was actually divine preparation. God was not only preparing a son for Hannah, God was preparing a prophet for Israel. You that knows your Bible knows that, and you know the story that goes with all of that. She said, "Preacher, what are you saying?" Here's what I'm saying. Sometimes while we are waiting, or while we are waiting on God, God is preparing something so much greater than we could ever imagine, man. Don't lose heart when it seems the Lord is unresponsive. You may think He don't hear you. You may think that He's not going to answer you. But in all reality, God may be preparing something way bigger than you in the waiting room. You don't understand all of it right now, but can I just say it this way? Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Men ought always to pray. So there's the widow. She prayed through pressure. There's Hannah. She prayed through pain. Number three tonight, and I'll be done. if time would permit us, we could travel to Matthew chapter number 15. I'm not going to go there and read all the verses to you. But in Matthew chapter number 15, we're introduced to a little Canaanite woman, and she prayed through persistence. She prayed through persistence. Whenever you study this woman, she came to Jesus crying in verse number 22. Matthew 15, 22, she said this, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Can I just say this? I believe she's got a need. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. There's every once in a while that I'm not going to call no names, but the two that still lives in my house, they get to going at each other, and I kind of feel like this little lady right here. My daughters are grievously vexed with their mother, with the devil. She's got a problem, man. Let's get back on track now. I want some pancakes and some eggs when we get done. Yeah. Mason said, yeah. We might be going to Waffle House tonight, son. But watch this. She's got trouble, man. She's got a problem. Her daughter is demon-possessed. But notice the shocking words of verse number 23 of Matthew 15. "But he," referring to the Lord, "answered her not a word." He didn't say anything. You ever went to the Lord in prayer and thought, "Lord, where you at?" You know, there's sometimes that I pray, and man, Brother Williams, when I get done praying, I know I've been in a conversation with God. And there's sometimes I get done praying and I think, man, what's in my life? Lord, where are you at? This lady's daughter is vexed with the devil. She comes and approaches God or Jesus and wants Jesus, which they're the same person, amen, wants Jesus to do something about it, and Jesus don't even respond to her. I thought about this silence. No response, no immediate answer, no explanation, but she refused to lose heart. She was tested by silence. Sometimes God's silence is not rejection. It's just simply a test of our faith. And I'll say that again. Sometimes God's silence is not a rejection. It's simply a test of our faith. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. It's kind of like Brother Dylan taught in Sunday school this morning, you that was in there. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. She was tested by silence, but no doubt she was tempted to quit, because in verse 23, "And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." Everything around her said, "Stop asking, stop praying, stop crying, stop pursuing." But she kept coming back to the Lord. Even when the disciples said, "Send her away." You know what the disciples said? "We ain't got time for her. Send her away. Send her away." I want to tell you something. I sure am glad that even when others are saying, "Send him away, Lord. Don't talk to him, Lord," I'm glad he still got an ear. She was triumphant through steadfastness, though finally Jesus said in verse number 28, watch this. He said this in verse 28 to her, "O woman, great is thy faith." Great is thy faith. That word, O, right there, it's just O. It's not O-A, it's just O. O woman. And I began studying that word. And whenever you study it out, it simply means exclamation. Jesus just didn't say, "O woman, great is thy faith." No, Jesus with exclamation, "O woman, great is thy faith." It excites Jesus. Listen to what I'm fixing to say. It excites Jesus when we're persistent in our prayer life. Whenever he saw that she wasn't going to give up, hey, he didn't seem unresponsive. He was unresponsive. He didn't answer her a word. But you know what she decided to do? Even though he was unresponsive, she decided that she was not going to lose heart, that she was going to keep praying, that she was going to keep seeking Jesus, that she was going to keep returning back to him. And you know what he ends up doing? Oh, woman, great is thy faith. He was excited because she kept returning to him. The very silence that seemed discouraging became the stage upon which faith was revealed. Many people pray once and quit, but this woman kept praying until she received the answer. Matter of fact, the old timers would say it this way: you must pray until you prayed through. Until you have prayed through. Miss Tanya, if you will make your way to the piano, don't lose heart when it seems our Lord is unresponsive. One of the younger ladies in the church was talking to another young lady the other day, and that other young lady come told me what the other young lady was saying. Sounds like gossip, don't it? And she come told me what the other one said. And here's what the other one said in short: for the first time in a while, I finally prayed through again. Can I just say this? Number one, I'm glad that some young adults understand even what that means. Hey, man, they even understand what that means. You know what she was saying? She was saying this: it seems the Lord has been unresponsive, but I just continued going back and talking to him. And after a while, thank God, he rolled back the windows of heaven, and I prayed through. The widow, she prayed through pressure. Hannah, she prayed through pain. The Canaanite woman, she prayed through persistence. Throughout every example in this message, one truth keeps rising to the surface. You know what that is? They didn't lose heart when God seemed unresponsive. The widow kept coming. Hannah kept praying. The Canaanite woman kept crying out to Jesus. All three faced silence and delay and could have quit. But instead of walking away from God, they pressed closer to God. I'll say to you tonight, the devil wants us to quit praying. He wants us to stop talking to the Lord. Let me tell you the reason why. Because when we stop talking to the Lord, our line of communication is broken. I hope that makes sense what I just said to you. Our line of communication, that's the way I talk to him. As I read my Bible, he talks to me, and as I pray, I talk to him. And can I just say this? If it's a line of communication, that means you're listening and you're talking. In other words, you're reading and you're praying. It goes hand in hand together. Somebody say amen. You're not going to pray much if you're not reading much. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get to reading, it'll convict you and it'll make you go to praying. So don't lose heart tonight. Don't lose heart when it seems the Lord is unresponsive. Sometimes God answers immediately. Sometimes God answers gradually. Sometimes God answers differently. But God does answer. God does answer tonight. And when he answers, I don't know why I'm going to say this, but I'm going to. I know why I'm going to say it, because the Lord told me to say it. When he answers, his answer is not confusing. God's answer, God's not the author of confusion. God's not the author of unknown. God is the author of, if we pray, he leads us in the right direction. Man, don't stop praying tonight. That person you've been praying for so long and you wonder if they're ever going to get right, if they're ever going to get saved. You know what you need to do? You need to keep praying. You might just be the only one that's ringing the prayer bells of heaven for them getting saved or them getting right with God may be dependent on your prayer life. Think about that. Let's just keep praying, even when our Lord seems unresponsive.